Well, we're back in our teaching again this evening, looking at the subject of growing up spiritually. We've been talking about this in these areas. We looked at first teaching we did about the ministry gifts, talking about what God put in the church to teach people so they can grow up. We talked about the babyhood stage of Christianity, which really everybody starts there. Everybody starts off in a babyhood stage, and nobody gets born again. You know, it doesn't matter what age we get born again at. Really, our spiritual development is based on the Word of God. It's not our physical life. I was in a church that had just started off. It was a new church getting going. And many of the people in that church had been Christians for years that were starting this new church. But a lot of them were babies and children, you know, really from the standpoint spiritually speaking. You know, as we went on and started, and, you know, like Wanda and I were in the youth ministry there in that church after being there a few years, and we ended up in the youth ministry of working with it and working with the youth. And really, we had some of the youth were, from a spiritual standpoint, were more mature than numbers of the adults were from a spiritual perspective. And so you don't, today, you know, people sort of pick people, you know, as being more mature from the standpoint, from a spiritual perspective, just because they're older. That's not true at all. In fact, I remember Kenneth Hagin, when I first got saved and listening to him talking, he talked about teaching and training people, and he said lots of times, he said, I found as being in the ministry, as people get older, they become unteachable. And he said, you're going to spend most of your time, spend it on people that are younger that want to learn. He said, lots of times older people don't want to learn. And I remember hearing that, and I thought, you know, I didn't have enough experience to know if that was true or not, so I thought, well, maybe he knows what he's talking about. But and I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to say that about people until I found out that was true. That a lot of people, as they get older, they become unteachable. They just, and they don't have to, but they just choose to. You know, is one of the, I think a lot of it is our mentality of life here in America. Here in America, we have a system called retirement, and people retire from everything. When they retire from everything. They retire from God. They retire from the whole bit. I come to this place in life now, and this is my rest life. And what it really is really what the Bible talks about, the guy that built the big barn. That's what they do. And what happens to them is, you know, hey, I've been saving up, I've been doing this, and here I am now. I retired, and I'm going to have this life that I'm going to live now. It's my life. And they don't realize when they do that, you know, God lets them have their life. And he lets them go because that's what they choose. And, you know, so you don't want to do that. You don't want to ever come to that place. I found it's a hard time. I know, like, say, over the years of being pastoring in church, as people got older in years, I know at times they got older in years and they would have problems in dealing with them, and they would, you know, have health problems and things like that. And I found out why lots of times they had health problems. And it wasn't just because they were old. They got faithless. They got faithless. That's what happened to them. When I'd sit down and talk to them about stuff and talk to them and trying to help them along, you know, they would want prayer for things, and they got to the idea, just like a baby Christian, of like, well, I don't know how to believe a thing. You just pray for me and you make it happen. And that's the way they sort of get it. And I used to have to talk to them and say, we can pray all we want about this thing. It ain't going to, you're going to have to act in knowledge of the Word of God. You're going to, that's where faith, you're going to have to do that. You can't just, you know, make this go away for me, you know. And, you know, listening to them and especially because usually what happens is people retire, they get hanging around with certain groups of people. And usually it's not good because the people that are getting around have retired like they did. And what happens, it doesn't really do well spiritually because they all start talking things. I get around groups, I see this, you know. I've watched it already and that stuff. There's people that I know that if Wanda and I sometimes, like, well, we were, there's a group of them that used to go to the church that we used to go to years ago. And if they're, like, we went down to Longhorn, you know, a couple of times they're in a group and sitting at a table. And they're people that, like, I like to try to ignore as much as possible. Like, you just say hi, you be cordial to them and nice, but you don't want to stop and say, you people are idiots. What is wrong with you? Because all they do is they're all talking and laughing how they're getting old, their health is going, and they're sitting there laughing. And it's none of it's funny because all of them's health shot. You know, they're probably on 47 drugs, and they're just, and, you know, the life, you know, is just, it isn't good. And they're sitting there, well, this getting old, just, and every time you get them around them, it's talk, it's like, man, they're the last people to be hanging out with each other. It's like, you know, it's like, you can't do that. And it's because they're always talking wrong. And they're having everything they're saying. They don't realize negatively their faith is working wonderful. They're getting everything they're saying. And you have that, and it's like, you can't go that direction. You know, this faith life that we live, you have to maintain it till you go to be with Jesus. Or you ain't going to go pretty. The devil's going to kill you ugly. You decide that, which you want to be, you know, and you're going to have to realize that for your entire walk of life, if you want to have victory, you're going to have to walk in the same things. It doesn't change because you get older. This life, you know, and this is one thing is that one thing that I you know, we have today such a segregation of society, you know, because now we have, you know, when I was growing up, the old and young lived together. Now you have the older people, they go have their own communities, which are just wonderful places to go and live in a lot of death. Lots of times, you know, it's one of the things is you don't want, there's things about young and the young around spur life, you know. I'll never forget, we went down to, Wanda had an aunt in Florida there, and we went down, they lived in one of these communities, you know, and we went down to Florida, and we went to visit them, and they were in those communities. And it was the first time I was ever around one of those, and I just said, I never even want to visit people in one of these anymore. I said, man, how do they stand this? I said, they're all old around here with each other. They don't want people around that are making noise. You know, said, so we don't want any kids because you might hear laughter. We don't want to hear that. No, that's too much noise. That bothers my ears. You know, that's just, and the kinds of things they were doing. And I just said, man, I said, that is like going to a coffin. You know, it's just, I didn't like it at all. You know, I just, and I don't want to, I just don't want to be around. I don't want to get like that. I don't want to get like that where people have life bug me. But you just want to get over to the place where, you know, you're just not doing anything, you know, just slowly breathing. And that's it. And if somebody breathes a little loud, it annoys you, you know. But anyhow, see, and we need to understand that is about life, is about growing up. And this is a life that we maintain. So we're teaching this about, you know, a life. Because I have seen people digress, really digress over the years. Spiritually, there's numbers of people that, as I was a younger Christian, came into the kingdom, as today they have really digressed spiritually. They went from, you know, spiritually they were growing up, but over time they just got away from it, and now today, you know, they're like spiritual kids. And, to me, that's just the oddest, that's odd, you know. But you know, we see that naturally today, how many people like worked in their lives and they were mature and you know, and responsible, and they get older. Now they think everybody ought to take care of them, do everything for them. See, all of a sudden, I want to be a baby. Nak-ak-ak-ak-goo-goo, take care of me. Come pet me, do whatever it is. I deserve it. Cause I lived around for a long time. So I deserve this. That's being a baby. That's what that is. And see, you need, don't go to those places. Don't get into that stuff. Don't feel it's because you live long in this earth and you've been around and you did something, somebody owes you something. Because I'll tell you what, the devil will come and give you everything you owed. And you're going to wonder what happened. And it's like, don't go there. Don't digress. Keep growing. Keep going. I'm going to keep growing up. Tonight we're going to look in what they call childhood, you know, because the Bible talks about it, but really, childhood is a wider age span, really. You deal with childhood because, you know, you get into what the adolescence and that kind of stuff, into those areas. And we want to look at these things. One of the things is being a child. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 20, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. It says in the Amplified Bible, It makes this statement, brethren, do not be children, immature, he says, in your thinking. Continue to be babies in matters of evil, in other words, you know, have an innocence about you, but in your minds, be mature or be men. In other words, being an adult. So you want to develop, one of the things is spiritual maturity is really based on knowledge of God and gaining knowledge of God, especially renewing your mind, changing the way that you think, putting on that thinking. And, So we were supposed to, now is why he's dealing with the mind. We are dealing with the soul of man, which is deals with the realm of thinking, our emotions, our feelings, and our understanding and things like that. All of those things attach into there. And there is, you know, things is today it is, it there is such a weirdness in the areas that are taught today as I have a very hard time relating. Like if I listen to the news and listen to people and they talk about things and stuff, I have a very hard time relating with people. I don't know what planet they're from. I mean, people are just so emotional and people are so, every little thing hurts and touchy and I just don't get it. I mean, it's like being in third grade. And it seems like from, if you listen from the news media side, that you would think that the entire population is a bunch of, you know, third graders, you know. And, I don't know if you ought to run down third graders. They might be better off than what they are. But it's just when you listen to the things that are going on, it's the immaturity and it's people. And we need to realize what it is. It's people in their thinking. I mean, they think like kids. I mean, it's one of the things, if a third grader comes up and gives you a hard time, you know, are you going to sit and just, you know, try to debate with them? I mean, it's just like, it doesn't, to, this is what people do today, and they think, you know, that they're trying to talk back to them like you're, people are trying to reason. You know, it's one thing as I learn about children. Lots of times you can't reason with them. This is one of the things. When an adult gets to the point trying to reason with a child, most of the time the adult becomes the child. Because there's things you can't reason with a child with. You just have to tell them and make them do because they ain't going to feel, they don't know it. They can't figure it out. And you can sit and try to tell them. It may make complete sense to you, but it's not going to them when they have that immature thinking. It just doesn't make sense. And we have to understand that about, this is one of the things is today is, this is why education in schools is so bad, is because we're trying to reason kids into education. And you know what you got to do? You got to make them do it. That's what works. That's what they did with us and it worked. You know, it's like when I went in the military, they didn't reason with us about things. They just made us do the stuff. And it's like today, the military has a lot of problems. And we have, you know, men can't even go to war anymore because they can't take it. They can't handle it anymore. They fall apart. They just don't know what to do. And it's because everybody's reasoning everything. And nobody knows anything about just doing what this is what you do. And this is what, nobody's taught that anymore. And the church doesn't teach it at all anymore. The church is the same way. It's a place where everybody wants to have their opinions and have their stuff. It's the same old junk. And the American culture is really, really messed up. And we're dealing with it. And this is why is to be a Christian is going to have to, especially to be a successful at Christianity, you're going to have to be very disciplined. You have to be very disciplined. And today, that is a hard thing to do in our society with a lot of people because we're around people all the time that are undisciplined. And there's one thing, if you're going to be disciplined, people are going to be unhappy with you a lot. They're going to be unhappy with you. They're not going to, people don't like to be around people that are disciplined. They don't enjoy that. They don't like people that have rules and regulations. They don't like that kind of thing. To me, that's the easiest way to live. I have guidelines of what I do. It's very easy. I stay in with people. I don't have to sit and think about a bunch of stuff. I don't have to. I know this is what you do or don't do. That's it. Wow, my word, we can go to bed night, lay down, we don't have to think about a thing. No, everybody else is trying to figure out how they can make somebody else happy, and so-and-so is upset, and what am I going to do to deal with this? I'll take them out and shoot them, dear Lord. But you know, what on earth? Why are we messing with all this stuff? You know, this is the right thing to do, they don't like to do the right thing. That's their problem, not mine. I'm not going to try to fix it. That's not my job to fix it. Let them fix it. You know, it's just... You have truth, and this is why is dealing. When I look at the things today, is teaching years ago about childhood. You know, it was a definite structure of people, and today it's not. It's the majority of the population we deal with are children. Whether you're in the church or out of the church, it doesn't matter. I mean, both. I mean, you're just dealing with childhood. And people are full of their emotional problems and everything else. And this is one thing. If you're not structured or you're not disciplined, you will have emotional problems. That's just going to be the norm. That's what you're going to have. And this is one of the things of living in structure and learning to be a disciplined person. It really helps you with getting emotion under control and that stuff. You have things that you're stable with is what you do or don't do, so you aren't trying to figure out through your emotions what to do. And you don't want to do that because your emotions, I guarantee you, will usually head you in the wrong direction. Usually will head you in the wrong direction. Believe me, I know. Been there, done that. And so is having that structured life. And you'll find that the children don't have that. Is getting over in the areas where you learn to develop your mind, because if you're going to work out of the childhood area and... really is seeing that. And I think that people, it is difficult today because a lot of people are just raised under such emotional and everything's going on. And today is like, it's just, it is the strangest stuff. I mean, that is happening. And I mean, when you look at, you know, college campuses, if somebody, you can't have anybody disagreeing. Somebody disagrees with you and people just don't know how to act. If somebody disagrees with you, somebody don't agree with your politics or somebody, and people just don't know what to do. I mean, they can't handle it. It's just, you know, so we have to have what we call safe spaces. Safe spaces are where you let the idiots run the show. That's the safe space. The safe space is where the babies poop their pants and they do all their little crazy things and suck their thumbs and say, wah, wah, somebody upset me, wah, wah. That's called safe space. That's the place. It's safe. I can go there and be the complete moron that I am. I can be, you know, I can be in college, 24 years old, and I can go to that place and be my 2-year-old self. And nobody's allowed to upset me. And they're doing this at our places of, our institutes of education. There is no education that goes on in these places. There's no education that goes on. You talk about a waste of money. Anybody got to debt today to college? I mean, why don't you just burn your money and forget it? Why would you even pay to go there? I mean, I can't figure out why you do it. Oh, it's nuts. Okay. But we need to know about children. It's one of the things that Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we talked about in the ministry gifts. One of the things it said there that we read in the 14th verse, it tells us that children, what they're like, they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So we see that today is people who are in that class, they're gullible. People are gullible. We have that today. You know, people don't check out facts to find out things are true or not or anything like that. Whatever comes across in the news. Like we talk about being an informational society. You know, one of the things that Smith's Wigglesworth, like he would never allow you even to bring a newspaper into his house. One of the things that was is he said about the newspaper, he said it's lies. And he wouldn't allow it in. And what people don't realize, it is. You know, when you listen to the news, we need to understand this about what we listen to or what we spend time on. I don't care who you listen to in the news, conservative or not. A lot of what you hear is not true. You hear a lot of stuff that is said what people did. And what they did or said was true of what they said, but what they said wasn't true. It was only true about what they're dictating what the person said. So a lot of things aren't right or true, and you're hearing things. You're hearing things from people. You know, I almost can hardly even listen to any kind of news anymore. I can hardly stand it to listen to it. I mean, it grates my spirit on the inside, because it's not done. News isn't done anymore to try to inform people or to help somebody. It's nothing but a way to produce money, and it's all extremes. You know, I mean, you go online on Fox News, and they have the headings, things, and stuff going on, and they'll have, you know, such and such of a star about her latest bikini pictures. I mean, that makes the top of the news in Fox News. I mean, what on earth? Her latest bikini pictures, dear God! I mean, what? But the things that they talk about, and you know, they're always about the people that are fighting and fussing with each other, and this guy's lying, and that guy's telling the truth, and it's the whole thing of it is, what happens? You need to be careful, because listening to those things, if you listen to those things enough, they will get into your spirit. And there's one thing that you don't want to become, is a pessimist. There's no such thing as being a person of faith and you're a pessimist. There's many Christians that are trying to walk by faith and they're pessimists. They really look at everything pessimistic, and it's like, I don't want to hate people. And if you listen to stuff enough, you can hate people. And I would rather, like, you know, you wouldn't want to pray for certain people after a while. You just, you know, want something bad to happen. You wouldn't want, you know, I don't want to send them to hell, Lord. You know, just, you get wrong about it. But it's all this stuff that's going on out here, and you don't want to get those things in you, because you become part of the problem and not part of helping anything. And so, you know, this is one of the things, is listening on the inside. It's one of the things tossed to and fro. It is easy today because there's so much said and going on. In the natural, it's to what's true and what's not true is tossed to and fro. In the church world, it's the same with doctrine, stuff going on. And I've seen, like, doctrines over the years, like, that got into the church back when I was first started in Christianity, false doctrine stuff was in. I see it coming back, the same stuff today. I've watched over the years stuff that comes and goes. And people come along, and anything that sounds good, if it sounds nice, it sounds sort of neat, you know, somebody says something, and people don't check it out. An adult will always check things out. They don't take things just because somebody said it. That's one of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin, because he said, just because I said it, you don't believe it. He always taught us. In other words, be mature, you check it out. See, people that don't check out and don't go to see if the Bible really says it, is that's what the Bible's really teaching. You know, because you could pull a scripture out of the Bible, an isolated scripture, and almost teach anything you want. But to sit down and teach a doctrine, there's one thing, is anything that it's really a Bible doctrine is not going to be just in one scripture in the Bible. It's not going to be there. It's going to be throughout the Bible. You're going to find the principle stands throughout the Bible. So you're going to find that in there. So there, if you're going to grow up spiritually, spiritual children don't do that. They're, you know, anybody comes along with a, you know, and the latest new thing that's being taught, you know, it's like we have, you know, today, if we look where the church is filled with spiritual children, in fact, we have churches with 30, 40,000 people in that are no more than the pastors are immature, they're children. And the congregations, they're, you know, seeker-friendly. That's what a seeker-friendly church is, a child church. That's what it is. There's no spirituality in it. It's geared toward the lowest level to try to reach people. So its idea is that we're just going to make everybody happy and everybody get along together and we're going to do this thing. You know, the only thing that you can do is you're going to have, is just like in any family, you know, you have adults and you have kids. And you have to learn, is like, you know, you're going to have people that are going to be mature. We're trying to keep everybody at the same level. You can't do that without having a playpen. That's what you're going to have, a playpen. And so nobody's going to grow up. People grow up, you know what you have to do? You have to learn to put up with the kids. So instead of putting up with the kids, let's all become kids. Let's all act like wah-wah, just doing our little thing around and doing it. And what happens, you get nobody grows up. And, you know, it will go for a while, and everybody's having fun in the playpen, but I'm going to tell you what, it's going to fall apart big time. It can't keep going. It can't. Because people are going to go. You can get people playing. Is today, people can't stay with anything very long. Immature people, children can't stay with anything very long. You're going to have to find, especially today, you're going to have to find a new way to entertain them. You're going to have to do that. You know, it's like today, you know, they sit down and say, well, you know, a child only has so many minutes that they can hold their attention, and you got to, you know, do this and do that. It's amazing how they could hold our attention. When I was a kid, they could hold our attention for an hour or two. Today, 2 minutes and kids can't go over it. I mean, it's just... Do you ever think, when I was a kid, I went to church. We didn't have children's churches. Kids sat in the church, and they weren't acting like the devil. They weren't yelling and carrying on. They weren't doing that stuff. We'd go and sit in church and sit there. You know why? Because we weren't allowed to act like hell at home. So, it was normal to go to church and not act like hell. That was normal. So we went and sat down in church and we didn't have a problem with that. We didn't, you know. But today, can't do that. Why? Because we've taught people, you know, we got to entertain, we got to, you know, and we've done this. We did this thing. The devil didn't do it. People did it. And, I have nothing, you know, against the standpoint of children's church, but children's church should be a place that's disciplined. It should not be a place. It's not to be a playground. That's not what it's for. It's not so kids can act any way they want. It's not to be that, because if they are, what's going to happen? You treat them, they can do that. You know what? That's what church becomes to them. And as they grow older, they're going to church. They're going to be, it's like today, 20 minutes of preaching. Oh, man, I'm going to puke. I can't go. Man, you know, can't do it. They have the churches now, seeker-friendly churches, they have like 12 minutes of preaching. And then you have to have a video. Then you only have 12 minutes. And then you have videos and you do these different things. And that's what they're doing in these churches. Well, it's an impossibility to grow up. How can you go? They go, you know, once a week to church, and they only ever hear anything from the Word for 12 minutes. Just send a kid to school. Every day, got 12 minutes, and that's it. That's all they hear teaching, 12 minutes. You know, gee, I can't wait to go down and have the brain surgery, get brain surgery. The guy, he spent 12 minutes. He had 12 minutes he learned about brain surgery. Wow, this is exciting. I just... But see, tossed to and fro. In other words, to develop and grow, somebody's going to, and we need to understand this is one of the characteristics, and we can see this today. It's one of the things, if everybody's going in a different direction, or this person's going here and there, but one of the things, I'm going to stick with what the word is somebody's got to grow up. Somebody's got to do it. So I just decided, you know, that's the direction I'm going to live. I'm going to live to be an adult in this thing. And you want to do that. You want to set yourself. Somebody's got to do it. Even though the rest of the society, don't throw in the towel because others have thrown in the towel. And they just go along with this. They just go along with the things. So, but that's one of the signs of children. They're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They're easily gullible. And there's one of the things is dealing with that is understanding people that are in these conditions. You're going to have to talk to them. You're going to have to deal with them in the church world, and that's why it's dealing with discipline. When you deal over the years of discipline, you always get the undisciplined whine and cry. You know, if you start, you know, I remember, I've listened to a number of ministers who've been in the ministry numbers and numbers of years longer than me over the years when I get in. But one of the things that I found out, I remember. Jerry Seville said about it. He said, like at his church, he said, whenever you preach on dedication and consecration and on those kind of things he said, whenever you preach those in church, he said, you do those things. He said, people always leave the church. He said, you'll always have people leave the church. He said, every time you'll get people leave. They don't want to do that. People want to be dedicated or consecrated to anything. They don't want to do that. And so they don't like that kind of preaching. They don't like it. And he said, over the years, every time I preach on those subjects, he said, people leave the church. He said, I realize and know that that's just the way it is. And I've heard a minister say the same thing. You have the same kind of stuff. When you start getting your life right and doing things, people don't like that. They don't want to go. And of course, there's churches out here, they'll just go to the guys, don't preach that. Don't tell me about it. But at the same time, those people are the ones, they want to be healed, they want to have their finances fixed, they want this done, they want that, they want this from God, and they wonder why they don't get it, and they're looking for some minister to come around and give it to them, and that don't happen, that don't work, and you get this big mess going on, and you have people preaching that, yeah, you can live this way, God loves you, and it'll be all right. And it won't be all right. It's not going to be. And so people who stay in this condition, they have a very, they're going to have a hard time, and they're in it. This is why you find is like today is people in this condition, if you don't get them growing up, the people get very frustrated, you know, in these areas, because, you know, you get along. You know, when I was growing up, you know, I thought my parents, you know, they didn't know, you know, we were much smarter than they are. See, we were more educated, and we were so much smarter than our parents. And we knew. Oh, yes, we knew. Mm-hmm. We were such geniuses, you know, that, and they do today too. See, they think, you know, these older people, they don't know, you know. We're smarter today, you know, and we're do this and that. It's amazing. While they live off of other people, they say that they're smarter. Well, if you're smarter, I mean, with our kids, you know, I told our kids, you can call your own shots anytime you want to, and you're paying the bills living in your own place. But when you're lunching at my house and you're living with me, I call all the shots, because why? You're not mature. And if you're mature and you think you want to do what you want, well, then get mature and go do it. But you don't do it on my dime. You don't live any way you want on my dime. On my dime, I consider how it's going to be spent. That's the way it is. Nobody else does that, you know? In my house, you know, my kids didn't, they grew up, they didn't get a choice where they want to go to church. You live in my house, you're going to church. You don't want to go to church, you live in your own house. You go to whatever you want, do whatever you want to do, but you ain't doing it in my house. Wow, this is my dime, we called a shot here. You want a lunch here, you want a place to sleep here? This is what you do here. I'm king. Mama's queen, and I told them there ain't no other jobs. That's it. There's no more other positions. There's no other positions. Everybody else is a slave. People think, oh, that sounds, that's hard. We need to be hard. It's just, you tell people, look, because people come along and they get this idea that, you know, they're mooching off the land. You take today is one of the terrible things we do. It's like we have done with college. We turn around and give kids where they don't have to work anymore to even go to college. They don't even have to work. They can borrow all this money. They're living off of money that is given because other people work and do things. And it's given to them, which many of them don't pay it back. And they take that money and they just go live and they go to college and they act like they're on their own. They're not on their own. They're supervising. They have all this stuff and they go out there and let them track like seeing they're adults, and they ought to have the freedom to say what they want. Stupidest things you've ever seen in your life. To think that we as a nation have done this and think we could survive doing this stupidity. You know? We take young people today and they spend a third of their life not working. A third of their life. And then we want to take them. And then after they come out of college, send them to work. Well, today, you ask employers. My word, they come. They don't want to work. They come. No, I want to run the company. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run the company. You know, people talk to you. They tell you about this stuff that these people, these kids coming out of college come and tell them, you know, like, you know, you're just supposed to put me in charge, you know, never worked, never done a thing, you know. And they've had nothing but professors who have never worked and done a thing either, you know. Went to business school, and nobody in the business school who's a professor has ever worked in business. They've been teachers all their life. Teaching and don't even know if it works. Oh, and so we wonder why there's children. But you know, we need to understand, we have the same thing today in the church. Many ministers never live what they preach. They preach about lives they never live. They preach about the things in the gospel. They preach about holiness, but never live it. They preach about things they don't. They talk about, you know, and I've watched over the years, for many years, I've watched over and I watch ministers and who teach and preach on divine healing and all that kind of stuff. But they never practice it. They never do it. They're just like the world. They're doctor everything. But they preach it, but never practice it. Well, one of the things that it is, it comes across in their preaching because their people never practice it. What happens is because if you don't have it in you, you can't pass it on to somebody else. You can't pass to somebody else what you ain't got. Giving people information, and this is why education doesn't work today, whether it's the church or in the world, because all we're doing is passing information. We don't have people with experience. People don't have experience at doing things. They're just passing on information. You know, we sit down and this is what they do in school. Schools don't many times have kids doing stuff. What they have is just giving them information and giving them information, giving more information and more information. That's not just education. If people aren't doing stuff with it and taking that and applying it, you know, sitting down and taking math formulas and figuring them out, that has nothing to do with math used in the world out here. It has nothing to do with it. Don't have anything. It hasn't anything to do with it. See, and so we're raising people that really don't, and the church world's doing the same thing. It's become an informational place, just informational. And it has to be a place where the Word of God is practiced, because it must become a reality in people. Well, that's what changes people's lives. It's doing the Word, and the Word in doing it, it will begin to change your life. And that's one of the things, is because you can't ever come out of that childhood stage, because learning and taking a hold of things is where you get steadfastness and reliability. See, your steadfastness in life and your reliability mostly comes from experience, what you experience of what you do. Not about what people said to you or what information you have. What holds you steady is the things that you've practiced and done that you know work. Those are things that hold you steady. You know, it's like in the military, and as in the military and that stuff, what held you steady, like in Vietnam, what held you steady, things they trained us to do, and when things got tough, those things were the things that held you steady. Because those things that you learned, that you knew, that worked, that you did when things were tough, then you began to do those things. They kept you from going, ah! Those things. And so you can't, and this is where is with children. Now, is children, they're not going to start off with that and having that reliability and steadfastness. But they must be taught. You must teach them things and make them practice things to grow out of that stage. They must learn to practice. If you don't have them practice things, forget it. Just trying to teach children, just telling them stuff, just telling them to do things. No, you make them do things. You make them do whatever you want them to do. You make them apply the principles. We learned that with our own children. It was when the Lord told me, when we started off, Wanda and I were in a church, and they had a youth group. And the youth group, the youth leaders that they had were a mess. And what they found out, the pastor wasn't really paying attention to what was going on. And they just had a real secular thing going that was really bad. And these people were just, the kids weren't, you know, probably kids that weren't going to church were probably as well off or better off than maybe what the kids were in the youth group. So when the Lord, the pastor of the church came to me and asked me to take over the youth group. And I really didn't want to do that at all. I mean, I really didn't want to do that. And, so I told him I would pray about it. I said, I really want to take over the youth group. But I said, I'll pray about it. I'll ask the Lord about it. And when I prayed, the Lord told me to take over the youth group. Boy, I didn't want to do that. So anyhow, Wanda joined in with me, and we took over the youth group. And I said, the Lord, what do I do with them? What do I do? What do you, you know, because everybody has their ideas about things, you know. It's like, you can't, here you take over a youth group, you just can't stop and say, well, let's go to youth group school somewhere and learn this thing, and I'll come back in 2 years and then we'll know what to do here in this thing. And, so you can't do that. And I said, Lord, what do I do with them here? He said, you can only teach them what you know, and what you know works. So he said, the things that you understand and you know how they work, you start showing them and start teaching them. I thought, I can do that. I can do that. Now, this is one thing that was very interesting, because what I was teaching these kids, probably most youth groups, you know, wouldn't probably teach their kids. You know, they're, you know, teaching them, you know, talking to them just about trying to get by in life, you know, and all this. And the Lord told me to start teaching them about money and how to believe God for money and about giving and all that kind of stuff. We started doing that, teaching how to use faith, talk to them about healing. Started teaching those subjects. We started, because those are the things I knew. So I started teaching them. And the thing of it was I was very shocked, because I wasn't only the youth group leader, I was teaching the adult Sunday school class on Sunday mornings. And after some months with the youth group, man, I thought for sure on Sunday morning, I was definitely had the nursery. Because the adults were the real problem people. These kids were picking things. They'd pick it up and, you know, doing things and talk to them about giving and what they needed to do and stuff and tell them how they had to do it. And they started doing it. And the adults, I'd been pulling teeth up there trying to get these people to do anything. And they were all so smart and all new, and none of them could ever get healed. None of them could ever get anything. It was just, you know, there's always just, but their spirits, they know. And these kids would start doing it. Remember when you could get them to start doing things? And they just, it really amazed me of how quick they picked things up and just started doing. But we started doing is telling them what they had to do. And I tell them, say, you know, if you're not going to do this, it don't matter what you know. And you get that across to yourself. It doesn't matter how much you know. That means nothing. It's what you do with what you know. If you don't doing anything with it, what you know, all your information is completely worthless. Information in itself is worth it. Information is powerful when it's applied. It's powerful when it's applied. When it's not applied, it is worthless. It means nothing. You know, you can get sheepskins to hang on the wall, and it's all based on things you know. And you haven't done a thing. You know, you haven't done nothing. Well, and as I found those kids, we could get them to do things. Once they found out that things worked, they were amazing. Because they would take those things and they'd do them. And they started just doing them over and over and over again. They would just do them and do them and do them. Why? Once they found out it worked, they would do it. And, you know, it was just really amazing to see what God did with them. They're just listening to the word. So those kids would listen and understand. So kids can grow up from a spiritual standpoint. They were growing faster than the adults of the church were. They were growing spiritually faster because they were picking up spiritual principles, learning how to put them to work. Now the adults thought they were kids and they shouldn't be, and they didn't realize many of them were smarter spiritually than their parents, their own parents. Because their parents couldn't practice what they were doing. Parents couldn't do it. They were doing it. And so this is, you know, getting over that thing is about growing up. So, but you want to get at the place and come and teach people to get to that place where there's steadfastness, there's reliability in them. And that is through teaching them things and teach them those things to do that they have to do. And you teach them, they will find out when it works. Then that is a thing. It'll hold them steady when they start. When I first started learning things, you know, one of the things as the Lord got a hold of me in the beginning of being born again was doing the word. It's a big thing. I would hear Kenneth Hagin would talk about faith, and he'd talk about doing the word, and that just would stick with me about this doing the word. And I said to the Lord, what is this about doing the word? What do I do? See, about doing the word, what do I do? Well, I had to find out exactly what you do. We need to remember, Smith Wigglesworth said, faith is an act. See, we have faith as just a confession. Well, it's not. The faith is part of faith is a confession. But the faith, if what you're saying, you're not acting like it's true, it is worthless. James said, faith without works or corresponding action, without that action, it's dead. It doesn't produce till I start acting like what I say is true. It's the power of doing. Doing's a powerful thing when you do them. And so I wanted to know. The first thing that the Lord taught me about was the things of divine healing, because I had been learning about that area. And that's when, you know, and I've told the story many times. I woke up in the morning to go to work. I worked at Reese Candy Company, and I was just downright sick. I'll tell you what, I was just, oh, man. And it's like I said, I was laying there in the bed, and I was thinking about the things, well, I'm just going to believe God, and I'll call off work, and I'm just going to believe God to be healed, and I was just going to do that. And just as clear, I never said it, never said it in my mouth. The thought just went through my mind, and when it did, inside of me, a voice said to me, if you call off work, you're going to stay home sick all day. Well, I didn't like that idea. And so, the Lord said to me, I was laying there in bed, he said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? And I quoted it to him, and I said, yes, I believe it's true. Well, he said, well, then get out of bed and act like it. Well, see, what he wasn't being mean to me, he was trying to get me to act on the word, act on what I said I believed. See, it took no actions for me to say, I'm just going to lay here and do nothing, and I'm going to believe. See, I'd been asking him about this acting, what do you do? Now he's showing me. You know what? When I did, after that day, when I did that morning and I got out of there and I got to work, I was completely well. Every time that ever happened, I did. Why? I got steadfast. I knew that worked. I did it every time. And it never failed once. Never once. Never failed one time. Never failed. Once I found out it worked. And then I said, well, I'm doing that. And see, there's why. So I became steadfast at that. I started to learn. Well, then what I started to do is looking other areas of faith. How can I act? What do I do to act on the Word of God like it's true? And I've learned this over the years. That is one of the major failures of most Christians. They believe the Word, but they don't act like it's true. That's the big failure. Because that's where the pressure comes. There's no pressure in believing. The pressure is in acting like you believe. That's the pressure. You know what? Nobody cares. Nobody ever got persecuted for believing in Jesus. It's when they told people they believed in Jesus. It's when they acted like they did. Nobody ever got persecuted just believing in Jesus. That never happened. As soon as they started acting like it's true, persecution came. See, actions is where the pressure comes. But when you find out, that's where you'll get your steadfastness. Once you find out it come the place where something works, then you start applying it. So me, I just began applying it. Why? Because you started growing. That was a place now became steadfast for me. You know, that's a place where I took leaps and bounds in growing up in that area. There's other areas I sure needed a lot of help. But once finding out, learning how to practice the word, you know, not looking for something. When something works, unless God teaches you something different, you know, don't, you know, the Bible says you don't get weary in well-doing. See, we know this in our society today. People get bored very quick. You know, it's, you know, people get bored. I mean, the church world, you know, people like to hear, you know, there's things that people need to hear. I mean, think about this. Kenneth Hagin made this statement. He said it takes at least 35 sessions to cover, he said, the subject of faith really in a full way. 35 sessions. Most people would never listen to 35 teachings on faith. They would never even consider it. Most Christians say they like the subject, wouldn't even do it. Why? Because we get weary in well-doing. We want to become really good at doing something, but we don't want to do what you have to do to get good at it. You're going to have to listen to 1,000 sessions of it to get good at it. Believe me, I've done it. And I'm still working at it. But you're going to have to listen to it over and over and over and over and get it into you and practice it and practice it and practice it. You're going to have to, what you do learn, you're going to have to do and get steadfast at it and keep practicing. You learn some more, you get just doing it. That's just the way it is. I'm never tired of hearing about it. I've never got tired of hearing about healing. I've never once ever got it. The subject never bores me. Why? Because I like health. Most people don't like health enough to listen to it. Most people don't really, you know, they're not really into having health. They only want health is when they feel bad, but they aren't interested in it and staying well. They're not interested enough in it. And you have to come to the place where you're interested in it. You learn to practice these things. You become steadfast. Because it's easy. When you see everybody else playing, see, children, it's hard for children. They watch everybody else playing and say, why do I have to sit and study and pray? I want to be out playing. See, God taught me early about that when I started off as a Christian, you know, and that stuff is, there's many times and, I remember, you know, I really had a hard time at it sometimes because, like, Saturday had come and be nice, you know, I just sort of want to be out and God would say, I want you to go and spend time with me and pray. I want you to pray. I want you to read the word, do stuff. And I'd go to the bedroom and spend a beautiful Saturday afternoon in the bedroom with God. And I would go to the, you know, why? Because everybody else is out doing something. And see, when I would realize, you know, that stuff, I was going to a church that even the pastor was probably playing on Saturday. And he was. So see, it's not difficult. It's not as difficult for me now. See, I've trained over time and you learn to do that. It depends what you want or how far you want to go or what you want to do. God ain't going to quit liking you because you don't. But the whole thing of it is there's places you want to go to that you're going to have to do things where you're going to have to set aside things when other people, it's not bad things that other people are doing, but there's things, depends on how far you want to go. You know, it's just, you know, we look at the medical field, we have people that become specialized in areas and stuff. The amount of years that they spend in education to become it, you know, is, you know, some of these surgical fields, there's 10 years of education that they spend in these fields to do this stuff. And I mean, you go to a hospital and talk to an intern sometime of how many hours they're spending there, how much they're working and how much they're doing in that hospital. And then we want to go and complain you got to spend $150 to see a doctor. You ought to spend $2,000. You know, these people are working for nothing. They're there in there all this time. Why? Because they want to become proficient at doing something. And to me, it's shameful because Christians will not really work at being a Christian. And we can get a heathen to just work and work and work at it to be what he wants to be. And today, nobody appreciates it. They don't appreciate it. You know, the guy works it off, and then they complain, and the government tries to figure out how to give him less money. He's making too much money. For what he does, he don't make enough. Because everybody that's spending all the time not doing anything, they'd be a lot richer if they spent as much time as he's doing what he does. But folks, this is part about growing up. And this is one thing is, because see, we live in a society today that's trying to find out how to do less and less. But doing less and less is only for this. So we can consume it on our own lust. So we can follow pleasure. So we can have more relaxed time. We're trying to have more relaxed time. And you know what we do with our relaxed time? We never relax. We play and wear ourselves out. We go on vacations and come back and we're more worn out than what we were when we... we got to come back and try to rest. Because we go on vacation, we can't sit for 2 seconds. We can't, I need to relax. So I go on vacation and I plan 497 things that I can't possibly do. And I'm running here, running there, dragging this, doing this, doing it. Because we've got to do all this stuff. And we're doing all this because why? We want to have fun. You know what that is? It's being a child. That's what children are. They want to do everything. And when adults want to do everything, that's being a child. That's what it is. And that's why so many families, they don't have any adults. There's no adults in the family. There aren't any adults. This is good preaching, folks. But we're talking about being a child. If you want to grow out of childhood, you can't be a child and want to be a child and like doing the childish things and grow up. You can't do that. It doesn't work. You know, you got to find out the things. What really gives pleasure? What really brings pleasure? Do you know? Do you know what really brings pleasure? Do you? You know, anything that you do a little bit to have pleasure and then it goes away, that is something fleshly. Usually it is. It's not that way with God. Things that are usually very profitable, those things last and they last and they last. Godliness says it's, you know, it's good for everything. You know, it's body exercise profits a little, but godliness does, it works for everything. Well, you know, today people will spend more time chasing after their body. Christians do. Spend much more time chasing after their body than they do God or godliness. And they do. Well, what does it profit? What's the profit? What's the really, you know, it's like with me. When I ended up going to the hospital, you know, and ended up being released after a day and they didn't know what to do about it, it's one of the things, I was glad I followed godliness instead of the other stuff. Instead of dying in the hospital. See, what is really profitable? You have to decide that. And because people don't. It's what's really the payoff? What's really gonna help me, you know, in life? And what's, you know, when we talk about things, because, you know, is a child is always trying to find joy and pleasure in things, and they're trying to just do so, trying to have a good time, all the time trying to have a good time. And there's one thing is about growing up isn't always having a good time, but we need to know is growing up and that maturity and reliability and all those things and not being gullible, they make a good life. You know, it's like somebody who learns to work and, you know, I was always thankful when parents taught us to work and to do things and you just, you know, it's like Wanda and I never had that problem. The amount of families they worked, you know, Wanda always worked and did things. And we had that built into us. We were taught as kids, that's the things you did. And that was put into us, you know. Our kids, we taught, they had to do stuff. You do things. You know, you don't wait till they hit their teens and then you want to have them start doing stuff. Forget it. You already lost them. They're gone. They're not going to be doing it. You're going to fight like crazy trying to get them to do something. You start teaching. Why? Because it's life. It's the way life is. You start teaching things about responsibility when they're little. You don't let them get away with stuff. There's things you make them start to do and things you start to teach them about their stuff. You know? I heard people all the time say, well, they're kids. Yeah, I know their room's a mess, but they're kids. And I'll tell you what, when they're 25 and it's going to be that way and you're going to be complaining about it, just forget about it. You allowed it to go on. You did it. You're the problem. You did it. You make them do things. And that, why? It's for their betterment. It's because you love them. God chastens. Remember we read that there last week? God chastens us. Why? Because He loves us. He makes us do things because He loves us. Nobody loves their children who don't discipline them. They do not love them. They love themselves and are only self-centered, selfish people considering about what keeps them happy at the time. I don't have to fuss over this. I don't have to do this. I can stay away from trouble. I can stay a child. I don't have to face adulthood. You know what? Adults are usually kids not kids' best friends. If you want to be your kid's best friend, it's because you're going to have to stay a kid. And I have never met an adult who, with their child, was their best friend, was not childish. Never met one. As soon as you become adult, they don't like that. I don't want no adult. Oh, my words, this meddling's good. Anyhow, hallelujah. The grass is definitely might look greener on the other side, but I'll tell you what, did you ever go over there and then wish it had never went over there? Did you ever think about all the advice that was given to you that was good and you didn't take it and you didn't do it and the price you paid for it? Because, you know, we were smart, you know. My parents didn't know. Those old fogies. They weren't smart like us young people were. So I just chose to learn it all the hard way. What about you? You know, the hard way you can learn, but that ain't the way. Oh, I found out it's a lot. When I got to be a Christian, I learned, I'm starting to listen to my elders. I'm going to listen to the things they're teaching because, man, I learned too many things the hard way. And I wasn't going to head that direction. There's one thing as you find out is about children. It's one of the things that we're doing today that's really... Children are taught concerning reward. Reward can be a very good thing. It's the teaching reward for doing things. God rewards people. But we have a system and with children. Children want to be rewarded for everything they do. They want a pat on the back, you know, just because they got up and started breathing this morning in your house, and you shall be so glad they're there. But they do, and we reward them, and what happens is we have these systems today, teams, everybody gets a trophy, people don't realize how destructive those things are. How really destructive, because they keep them as children. See, you're going to find out as children. I'm trying to think of what the guy's name was. It's a minister who, back in the 90s, came along and was... what he did is, and in fact he does today, he teaches businesses. And this is where he got his stuff. It was about the business world and how to keep your employees happy and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that he did was this, is he would teach us, and he was going to churches teaching, and he was writing all these books, and people were buying their books. And a guy gave me his books, and I said to him, the guy gave me the book. I said, I started reading this book, and I said to him, I said, you can't do this book because, I said, number one, you can't be in the ministry and do this book because you can't ever follow God. You're always running around petting people. That's all you do is pet people to keep them happy. See, and this is what they call acting in love. So what you do is you're always rewarding people. Every day you're sending them texts and you're sending them emails and telling them how wonderful they are and how good they are. And you're just doing this all the time. You're sending them cards. You're doing all these different things and you're doing it, petting people all the time. Well, this is one of the things. Yes, you have to do that when you have all babies around you and children. In teaching these things, and people got onto these things and started doing them. Well, I'll tell you, see, it doesn't work because what he was dealing with, see, you're dealing with the world, and you're dealing with business, you're dealing with a lot of sinners. And in the church world, we want people to grow up, and you just can't keep patting and petting people all the time. You know, it's one thing, I heard people, would say about this. One thing is I learned, just like when I was, in the service, I came back from Vietnam, and I got back from Vietnam. There was all these guys and that stuff that were coming because I was, I was in 1970 when I came back. So, it was a height. We're still, war was going on big time still at that time. And all this stuff was going on because people were upset because, people weren't treating guys right that were coming back and blah, blah, blah and all this. But they got in, then people started this stuff. They started doing all this stuff of, always, congratulating people that were, there and that stuff. And people, and it's like politicians, I still get things, they're having dinners and breakfasts and stuff, and they invite you to come. They want to honor you and blah, 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 blah. And I have zero interest in it. Because of this. Nobody has to congratulate me. I did what I did because I chose to do it. And I honored a country who I got to live in. And nobody has to pat me and shake my hand or anything like that. Nobody has to tell me I did. This whole thing is every year you got to have a dinner for me so you can tell me I was a great guy. You don't have to do that. I don't need that. You shouldn't be doing that. We ought to just, I don't care if anybody else, what anybody else thought about me in Vietnam. I don't care. That has nothing to do with nothing. But we have this society and everybody's got to be patted and petted all the time. And if they don't get patted and petted, then they get teary. And they just don't appreciate me. I never went into service to thinking if anybody was going to appreciate me or not. I never thought about it. When I was in basic training, if I was worried about somebody appreciating me, I'd have left because it didn't seem the drill sergeants appreciated me at all. They didn't treat me nice at all. So we didn't go in because we thought, somebody was going to pat and pet me. Nobody owes me anything. I was glad to serve my country. And you got to come to this place. You do what you do. If people honor you or not, you do what you do unto the Lord. He'll honor you. And I'm going to tell you what, if you fight for honor with people, you'll never get it from God. You will never get it from God. I'll tell you what, God honors me. That's where He can give more and do more for me than anybody can. And that's where you have to come with that satisfaction. God sees what I do. He knows what I do. I don't have to go around blowing a horn. We don't have to blow the horn. We don't have to do that. See, children run around blowing the horn on. Look at me. We're in a society, Phil, which anybody ever does anything, it's blow your horn. Look how wonderful I'm doing. You don't need that. You don't need that. Maturity doesn't need that. Only children. And that's why we know is most people are children, because everybody wants to get noticed today. Everybody wants to be noticed. It doesn't matter if I'm noticed. I'd like to get Jesus noticed. That'd really be good in the church world if we could get Jesus noticed and some of these people that are in the pulpits and get them a whole lot less noticed and get Jesus noticed. And so those are the things that we want to do. And this is one of the things is dealing with these areas of childhood. And we'll go on with teaching it around these lines. We'll talk about it being an adult and go into some other things in the scriptures. But I just really, you know, encourage you is look around in society. Decide you want to be something more than what you see going on around you. And especially is to grow up spiritually. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's such a need in America for adults. And I want to tell you what, they're really, we're low on the numbers of those. Of ones who, you know, that, to me, I don't want somebody taking care of me. I don't want the government taking care of me. I don't want those things. I don't want them. I don't mind working. I'm just of the old school. I like working. I do. I just, you know, I got to be a Christian, and you know what? I just saw as a life of productivity, being productive. You know, I don't see Jesus up there, you know, sitting on a rocker someplace and just, Holy Ghost, get to work down there. I'll tell you what, I'm retired. I don't. But, is getting ourselves over, especially today, being an adult. Today, you know, people always, like I said, they want to be noticed about things. People always want to be, you know, people are always worried about whether somebody's going to appreciate them or not or anything like that. And really, we got to come past where we grow past those things, where we get past it. If you do right, there's just a satisfaction in doing right. I don't have to be noticed. I'm going to tell you what, there's people who are alive today, there's people who are healed and delivered because I went to my bedroom and prayed and God delivered them. And it wasn't at all because anything they did. And you know what? To this day, they don't know a thing about it. And I've never told anyone of any time that God's led me to pray, you know, for somebody's in a bunch of trouble, got them delivered. I've never told a person, anyone ever about it. I've never told them about it. God's never told me to. I ain't going to blow my horn. I ain't going to go tell them. God, you know, God use you. The reward I have is with the Lord. God knows what I did. I don't have to go, well, I did this or I did that. I don't have to go do that. As everybody today, they like to get noticed on everything, you know. There's a lot more I've learned over the years. There's a lot more people probably delivered by people praying where nobody knows about it than they do in a lot of people out standing in front and all their mouthing about it. And Jesus said this. Jesus said about going and praying, he said, you pray in secret, I'll reward you openly. And to learn to do that, you're going to have to grow up. Because it is always over in the areas of people. You know, it's like people today, you know, you get these people, they give a good sized gift. They want to know, you know, I got to get my name out there. You know, I gave such and such. And, you know, can you put my name maybe give me a plaque. Give me a plaque out here. I'll tell you what, I just can't do that. I've given money already and I've told them just don't say a thing about it. You know, just leave it alone. Just that, because it's number one. Sometimes, you know, and it's okay that things are said, but I don't want to be my promoter. That's not my job. That is being a baby or a child. When you become self-promotion, you don't do that. You don't want to go there. That's being a baby or a child. You start promoting yourself. I don't have to promote myself. I don't need to do that. In other words, I don't want to get into doing that. That's an easy way to get into areas that aren't good for you, that are just not good spiritually for you, is don't get into that stuff. Because we live in a world today, that's just the way it operates and it goes. Which shows you we're dealing with a lot of children, aren't we? That's what we're dealing with. I mean, most people, they run along in that stuff, and it's self-promotion. I mean, we're lucky. Man, we see major companies that ain't got an adult in them. They have no adults in leadership. They have nobody out here. See, the church should be the adults in the world. The church should be full of adults, but the church today is full of playpens. It's filled with playpens. People who are just like the world, and yes, children to reach the world, how are they going to do it? Through toys. Through all the stuff. All the things that they do for their entertainment. And so that's what we have. Glory to God. Hallelujah, though. But if we follow the Word and stay with the Word of God, and that's what I just encourage you, staying with the Word of God, you will grow up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord God, for your kindness and mercy toward us through Jesus Christ, because you surely have been good to us. Father, we were a nation at one time that, Lord God, we did have a spirituality about us. But Lord God, we've sure changed what we have done. We've opened our door to every religion and every pagan thing. And Father God, it has sure shown up in our land, and it sure showed up in our people. And Lord God, I ask you, just forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us for what we have done with the great gift that you gave us of this land. Lord God, forgive us for what we turned it into. Father, forgive the church, your people, Lord God, who instead of following you, followed the rest of the world. But Father God, we have set ourselves, Lord God, we're your people, but Lord God, we want more. We want something better. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, there's been people who have walked before us, have walked in integrity. Lord God, people, Lord of God, of good Christian character. Lord God, they weren't spiritual giants, but Lord God, they had a maturity about them, Lord God. They were people who were leaders, Lord God. I thank you, Father God. Father, even with my parents, I thank you, Lord God. They were leaders. They didn't follow the kids. They led us, and I want to thank you because they did put a lot of good principles in us. They put a lot of good things in us that helped us grow up, Lord God. And I just want to thank you, Father, because those things that they put in us, Lord God, even in my Christian walk, they have been very beneficial. And I'm just thank you that I was able to grow up. Lord, I feel so sorry for so many children today. Lord, there's so many children that they're growing up. I feel bad for them because they have no leaders. They have no leaders in their family. They have no leaders in leadership in their education. They have no leaders in their churches. They have no leaders. Everybody's a follower. Everybody's a child. Lord God, we definitely need a move of the Spirit. There's something that must change, and it's not a natural thing. Hallelujah. There must be a spiritual change in this nation, and I thank you, Father, we're not going to be disappointed. Father God, you're not going to neglect this generation who hasn't seen, who hasn't known. You're not going to neglect these children and these young people today that have grown up in these families where their parents have heard the gospel, but they've stayed at home and never took their kids to church. They've stayed at home, Lord God, and not raised their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and their children have grown up as heathens, Lord God. Father, because of the iniquity of their parents. Hallelujah. Who once knew about doing right, but this day don't do what's right. And Father God, you'll visit these young people. You'll visit these children in this last time. Lord God, you'll move and touch their hearts. And I thank you for what you're going to accomplish and do for them and in them. In Jesus' name, amen.